This is the story of how I died and went to heaven.
Paintings depict a story.
Okay, so the kingdom of Corona to be exact, but hey, let's not get hung up on semantics. Once upon a time, a single drop of sunlight fell from the heavens. You know what? I'm just gonna give you the rapid fire shorthand here. The sun drop created a golden flower with healing powers. Creepy old Mother Gothel sang a song to said flower to regain her youth. Yada, 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 the queen got sick, flower healed queen. Queen gave birth to Rapunzel, who was born with the flower's magical healing powers, and everything was all flying, lanterns and cheering subjects, until Gothel stole the princess and kept her locked in a tower for 18 long years. Then the princess was rescued by a dashing, steely-eyed, suave, smoldering, devilishly charming rogue. Now, some people might have called him a thief, but I always prefer the term misunderstood good guy. You see, it wasn't always easy for young Eugene, raised as an orphan on the rough streets
of... Hey, Eugene, focus.
Huh? Oh, right, sorry. So, the beautiful young maiden, that's you, and the handsome rogue, that's me, made a deal. We followed some lanterns, I saved you from Gothel, you saved me from death, and then you got arguably the world's most overly dramatic haircut. And then...
And then I was reunited with my long-lost family. But that is where our new story began. 6 months had passed, I was loving life inside the kingdom of Corona, and my coronation to officially become princess had finally come.
We all had a few surprises that day, didn't we, Sunshine? Laugh it up, Brock.
Now I know what you're all thinking. Yes, Eugene and I did get married, but make no mistake, getting to the wedding day and our happily ever after would be the biggest adventure we would ever face.
Oh, that's good.
In animation, Rapunzel rides through a forest on horseback. Eugene catches up to her astride Maximus.
They're gaining on us!
Three mounted guards chase them.
There's more of them!
Good, it'll keep things interesting.
The couple hurtles along a dirt path with the three guards in hot pursuit.
Man, these guys are persistent.
So am I. I'll meet you at the wall.
Sounds like a challenge.
Think you can keep up?
Oh, it's not me you have to worry about.
Uh-oh.
A guard follows her.
They're your problem now.
Eugene rides into a canyon.
Oh, great.
The captain and a guard pursue him.
Okay, Max, follow my lead. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
He jumps over a log while Max goes under. Eugene lands back in the saddle, but the guard falls off.
Good thing the ground broke his fall.
Meanwhile, Rapunzel finds her path littered with rabbits, some of them eating carrots.
Whoa! Bunny crossing! Careful, Fidella! Watch out, watch out! Cute little bunnies!
Her horse tiptoes around the rabbits, but the guard plows into them and gets buried under a pile. Pascal grabs a carrot from a bunny. The captain nears Eugene.
You're not getting away this time!
Yeah. Rapunzel jumps in the way.
We're almost there!
Oh, come on!
With the captain chasing them, Eugene and Rapunzel ride to the edge of a cliff. Their horses leap off. They soar over a river and land safely on the opposite bank. The captain and his horse splash into the water. Eugene watches them surface.
Looking good, Cap!
He rides off. Bounding across a green meadow dotted with flowers, Rapunzel arrives at a purple wall with the emblem of the sun on it. Fidella looks to Rapunzel, then puts her front hooves up against the wall. Rapunzel climbs over her head to the top of the wall and eyes the flowing river.
Pascal, look at that view.
On her shoulder, Pascal sighs. Max catapults Eugene to the top of the wall.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Now, it may have seemed like you won. But you gotta take into account that my hair is actually longer than yours now, so we gotta factor in wind resistance.
Wow. Have you ever seen anything so beautiful?
He takes her hand.
Yes. Yes, I have.
They move to kiss.
The game's over, Your Highness. The welcoming ceremony is about to begin.
Well, I think we showed those guards who's boss. Now, what do you say we go make you an official princess?
Oh, is that today?
Haha, very funny. Now come on, we better get you back to the castle. Ooh, maybe I can squeeze in a royal massage. Before my daily trim, of course.
Rapunzel looks beyond the wall.
I know, Pascal. We'll get out there soon.
She jumps down onto Fidella.
Ha! Race you back to the castle!
Eugene takes off. The captain slumps. Over a blue sky, a title appears. Disney. Tangled, Before Ever After. Rapunzel and Eugene return to the castle.
This is life after happily ever after. And it's all just as sweet as the stories say. I feel wild free as light as can be, and ready to explore.
A handmaid takes Rapunzel away before Eugene can kiss her. Max kisses him instead.
True, there are certain customs I have to follow.
Curtsy.
Several small obligations I can't avoid.
Princess, the time.
A few rules to well more than...
A servant points out her dirty footprints on a carpet.
Aside from all that, though, I'm overjoyed.
This way, princess.
Ladies-in-waiting groom her.
Corsets and buckles and bows. Plus all those names to recall.
Jane?
Ethel.
Right.
Still, I can hardly complain, I suppose. This is happily ever after all.
That's enough. I'll take it from here. How you holding up?
Busy. But busy's good.
I'm glad you think so, Raps, because this welcoming ceremony is just the beginning. Tomorrow's the festival, followed by the royal banquet, and that's all before the actual coronation on Sunday. Oh, come on.
She really? Eyes Rapunzel's bare feet.
Look, Rapunzel, I know this princess thing is new to you, but you gotta at least try to act the part.
Trust me, Cassandra, I know how important this is to my dad.
As you've requested, Your Majesty, we've doubled security on both the main gates and the south towers.
Good. We have guests from all over the world. I want them to know that they are safe. Everything for my little girl's coronation weekend must be absolutely perfect.
Hi, Dad.
And now that at last you are here in my arms, I won't permit you to fall. I must protect you from all the world's harms. We'll live happily ever after all. Now, as princess, you are not only representing yourself and the family, but all of Corona.
Don't worry, Dad. I won't let you down. But while we're on the whole princess coronation thingy, I mean, all these royal activities are great, but do you think I might be able to catch a little downtime soon?
I know this is all new, but you'll adjust. After all, your friend seems to be getting on just fine.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Helmut, my man! This hat ties the whole outfit together! Now, I know what you're all thinking. Why is Eugene in such a good mood today? I mean, what gives? Now that we're living splendidly, our dreams fulfilled extendedly, why leave things open-endedly for Rapunzel and moi? Tonight I'll hand this rose to her, kneel down and then propose to her, and give this ring I chose to her.
Nice.
Ulf swoons.
Life's gonna be like strawberry sherbet once she is Mrs. Eugene Fitzherbert. Okay, not great, but how about this? Once she is Princess Eugene Fitzherbert! And what better day to propose to a princess than at her coronation?
This is life after happily ever after. And our story has finally reached its end.
Settling down here,
year upon year,
contented and secure,
with dozens of duties we'll have to tend. And now that we've gotten the dream that we chose, now that we're in for the haul,
Rapunzel spins a globe.
Adventures can come to a close, living happily ever after all. Now that I've gotten the dream that I chose, why does my world feel so small? If this is it, and it is, I suppose.
She studies a tiara before a mirror.
Is this happily ever after all?
She eyes her reflection.
Okay, no pressure, just introducing myself to the most important people in the world. Representing my mom, dad, and the entire kingdom. We got this.
Now, a boy puts up posters for the coronation celebration. A rat steals one of them from his bag. Carrying the rolled-up poster in its jaws, it scurries into a sewer. It scuttles under an arch, then emerges in an underground hideout and presents the poster to a woman with an arm tattoo. A man looks on.
Lady Kane, what is it?
Time to pay our respects to our beloved royals.
She sets fire to the poster. At the castle, Rapunzel and her parents stand at the entrance.
We're good at making people feel welcome. This is completely doable. Ish.
Eugene waves to her from a crowd, and she waves back. Her father wears a stern expression. She stops and resumes her place. Carriages arrive. A blue and gold one draws up to the royals, and a herald opens its door.
Your Highness, I present Dame Elizabeth Van Hoskins of Rochester.
Rapunzel bear hugs the elderly woman.
Get in here. So nice to meet you.
She adjusts the dame's hat. The king smiles weakly. Rapunzel waves to the dame as she walks away.
Perhaps you should refrain from the bear hug, sweetheart.
Oh, no bear hugs. Gotcha. Sorry.
I present Lieutenant Commander General James Rutherford Carver III.
Whew, that's kind of a mouthful. Is it okay if I call you Jimmy?
I'd prefer you didn't.
Well, welcome all the same, then.
I present the Duchess of Quintonia.
Wow, can I just say I love your hair. I used to have really long hair too, but...
This is a hand-woven coiffure, weft from the finest silk and vicuna fabrics. It designates high social status. You think you'd know that?
Still, nice to meet you.
Sadly, not nice enough to wear shoes, I'm afraid. Really?
Pascal scowls. Rapunzel eyes her parents sheepishly.
Sorry.
Nighttime. A full moon hangs over the castle. On a rowing boat moored at the riverside, Rapunzel stares at her reflection in the water. Eugene's reflection appears beside hers.
So, I think we learned something very valuable today. There's a time and place for bear hugs.
He jumps into the boat.
Hey, are you okay?
Yeah, great. Why wouldn't I be?
He frowns.
Just, Eugene, is all this everything you dreamed it would be?
He takes her hand.
Rapunzel, you are my dream. So as long as you're with me, that answer's always gonna be yes. Why, don't you feel the same way?
No, yes! I mean, of course I do! I love you with all my heart, Eugene.
She puts his hand to her cheek.
Look, I know this has gotta be weird. No one's expecting you to take it all in overnight. But believe me, I've been all around the world, and it doesn't get any better than this. This castle, our friends, your family, each other. What else could you possibly want?
Nothing.
They lean in.
Time to go!
Eugene falls overboard.
How's that water feeling, Fitzherbert?
Dark and icy, just like you.
Come on, Rapunzel, it's time to head in. You don't want to be exhausted for tomorrow. Right? My morning off. Sorry.
She gives Eugene a peck on the forehead and climbs onto the dock and heads off. Cassandra follows.
Man, she scares me.
Daytime. The castle stands beneath a blue sky. In the quaint town, the herald blows a trumpet.
The Princess Rapunzel will spend her day about town.
Escorted by six guards, Rapunzel finds herself squished between the middle two as they set off. She waves to a butcher who waves back with a cleaver. A guard charges him. People reach their hands out to Rapunzel, but a guard slaps them away. Later, a performer juggles torches, then breathes fire. A guard douses him with water. Little girls around a fountain braid each other's hair. Rapunzel makes to join in, but a guard takes her place instead. She sulks as more hands are slapped away. Near a bakery, Rapunzel admires a woman's baby, but a guard lifts her away and sets her before the baker. She goes to sample a cupcake, but a guard stops her and inspects the food, sniffing and prodding at it before presenting it to her. A cherry on top rolls off. Now she sits glumly in her room.
Let me guess. Big day on the town wasn't all you'd hoped it'd be?
Ah, it was interesting.
Pascal flashes a thumbs down.
Uh-huh, I bet.
I just wish my dad would let me get out and see the real world.
You know, if you really wanted, I could get you in and out of here before anyone even knew we were gone.
You mean sneak me out?
Exactly. What you do when no one's looking is your business.
The royal banquet is ready to receive the princess now.
Cheer up, Rax. Hey, maybe your dad got someone to chew your food for you.
In a magnificent hall, Rapunzel and her parents sit facing their guests. At a table, Eugene admires the engagement ring in its box. As he tucks it away, food splats his cheek in the eyes of the kids surrounding him. Cassandra walks past.
I'm in charge of the seating charts. One of the perks of the job.
I don't understand why you're so upset, sweetheart. I said you could do whatever you wanted. That's exactly what you did.
You didn't say anything about a battalion tagging along.
Why would I need to? You're royalty, making a public appearance.
But, Dad...
Ladies and gentlemen, dukes and duchesses, barons and baronesses, marquises and, you know, the female version of those, may I share a moment of history with you? Princess, would you join me up here?
Rapunzel smiles feebly and joins Eugene in the middle of the hall.
Tonight we celebrate our love for the princess. I, for one, can think of no better way to celebrate the love I have for this woman than this.
He gets down on one knee.
Oh, Eugene! Wait, did you drop something?
No.
He takes out the ring box and opens it. She beams. The king stands.
Rapunzel, from the moment I first met you and you knocked me out with that frying pan, I knew it was love. You're my light. You're my best friend, and I want to be your partner in all things.
Her eyes grow wide.
I can't wait to laugh with you and share with you. I see us raising our children here, and our children's children, and celebrating banquets of our own in this very hall for many, 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 many years to come. I want to ride our horses out to the Corona Wall together each and every morning until we're both very, very old and gray. I love you, Rapunzel. And I want to spend the rest of our lives here together.
Here? In this castle? Forever?
I mean, unless you want to rent, but I hardly see how we're going to top this. And I want to spend the rest of my life with you here. And it doesn't get any better than this. This castle.
Princesses need to be protected at all times.
Rapunzel? Rapunzel?
Wow. I love you, Eugene, but I can't. Just not now. I need some air.
She runs out. Cassandra glares at Eugene, who deflates. In Rapunzel's room.
Oh, I feel horrible about Eugene. I do love him, and I want to marry him someday, but not like this. Ugh, I need to get out and clear my head without a fleet of guards tailing me.
Say no more.
Cassandra opens a cupboard.
Oh, whoa.
It's full of weapons.
Where's the war?
Well, when your dad is captain of the guards, you tend to collect stuff.
She pulls a dagger out of her headdress. Rapunzel picks up an iron ball, dropping it as spikes jut out. She takes a cloak out of the cupboard, then turns to see Cassandra in a tunic with a sword on her back.
I have a feeling this is gonna be fun. Pascal, I need you to stay here and make sure no one knows I'm gone.
He salutes. Now walking toward Rapunzel's room, Eugene glumly eyes a portrait of the king and queen on a wall. Two guards block him.
The princess's lady-in-waiting made it expressly clear that—
Lady-in-wait? Wait, you mean Cassandra? First off, calling Cassandra a lady anything is being incredibly generous. Secondly, come on, Stan! It's me, your buddy, Eugene! Eugene the Fiend! You know Rapunzel would want to talk to me if you let me in.
Sorry, Eugene. Orders are orders.
All right. Just doing your job. I respect that.
He heads off.
You sure there's no way to let me in?
Stan eyes Eugene's frilly neckwear and smiles. Now Eugene enters the room without the jabot.
Rapunzel?
Pascal springs up near a mannequin behind a screen.
Rapunzel?
Grabbing a vase, he brightens a lamp. A silhouette appears behind the screen.
There you are. Look, Rapunzel, I am sorry. I am so sorry. I should never have put you on the spot like that. But I want you to know, I meant it. I want to marry you. I love you.
As Pascal works the puppet, a fly buzzes past.
It's okay. You're still upset. I understand. You're not ready to say it back yet. Totally cool.
Eugene lies down.
Oh, man, that is a good pillow. What is that, goose down? Some kind of down? Horsehair? Alpaca? Sorry. Look, I know there's still a ton of details we need to figure out. And I may have jumped the gun a little. It's just that growing up poor and alone, I got used to having nothing. But now with you,
I finally have something. You know, we have something. Something that is amazing. And I guess tonight I was just trying to keep it that way. And I thought that's what you wanted too. But I guess I was wrong.
Pascal struggles with the vase forming the head.
Oh, come on, say something.
It rolls off. Eugene moves the screen aside. Pascal turns pink.
Fantastic! I just poured my heart out to a frog. Okay, where'd she go? Pascal, you do realize that if the king finds out she's gone, we're all gonna be in big trouble, right?
Outside.
I'm aware it's not protocol, Pete. I just happen to think it highlights my mustache.
Hey, Stan, great look. I mean, it really brings out the stash.
He hurries off. The underground lair.
All right, you got us all down here. What's this plan of yours?
Oh, it's not my plan, boys. It's Lady Kane's plan.
Lady Kane?
See, 18 years ago, the princess was taken from Corona. And it was because of her the king unfairly cracked down on all those he considered undesirable. Us.
Yeah. So?
Gentlemen, Lady Kane is promising not only to make you all rich, but is offering you the opportunity to exact revenge on the king and his precious little princess.
He throws an apple.
So who's in?
At the castle, Cassandra and Rapunzel creep into a room illuminated by the green glow of a lantern. Cassandra moves a box, then pulls back a drape.
Is that a secret passage?
It was before you announced it to the whole cast. Rapunzel?
Meanwhile...
Rapunzel? Rapunzel, are you in there?
Is who in there, Eugene?
Huh? No one. This is just a part of my nightly routine. You know, yeah, checking the castle for intruders, keeping an eye on Rapunzel, like I promised.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, is anyone in there? No? Good. See? The system works really well, I think.
Eugene, where is Rapunzel?
In her room, of course.
Good. I'd like to speak with her.
You can't! I mean, you can, obviously. You can do whatever you want. You're the king. A very large, intimidating, beardy, yet clearly understanding king. It's just, she's still upset, and she said she needed time alone. I was only trying to respect that. But, like I said, you are the king. The very sweet and non-hostile king.
Well, maybe she does need some time to herself. But when you see her, please tell her that I'm looking for her.
Sir, about the whole proposal earlier, that didn't go quite as I had hoped.
We'll discuss that later, son. Much later.
Right. We both have bigger fish to fry.
In town, Rapunzel and Cassandra emerge from a tunnel.
That was so fun! I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that we're supposed to be sneaking out. Cass, I think you'll discover that I can be pretty sneaky when I need to.
Cassandra hides her.
Nightly patrols. We can get by them if we time it right.
Wait, how did you know they were coming?
I have eyes in the sky.
She extends her arm. An owl swoops down onto it.
That is amazing! You have your own owl! What's his name?
Owl.
Max looks around, then approaches with Videla.
Max!
Yeah, and when he heard I was sneaking you out of here, he insisted he'd come along. And between you and me, I think he's got something for you-know-who.
It'll be our secret.
Cassandra fires an arrow on a rope to the opposite bank of the river. The horses sit in the back of the boat, with Rapunzel in the middle, as Cassandra uses the rope to pull the boat across the water. In the castle, the king studies a painting of himself and the queen with baby Rapunzel.
Oh, honey, stop beating yourself up. Rapunzel just needs some space. Nobody said dealing with teenagers would be easy.
Teenager or not, Ariana, she will be queen one day. I have to prepare her for that.
He stares out at their balcony.
Guards! Guards! My child! Rapunzel!
He closes French doors and locks them.
I just want to protect her.
Out in the night, Cassandra paddles the boat to the riverbank. Rapunzel gets out and wiggles her toes on the grass.
Seems like I've spent my whole life hoping, dreaming of things I've never tried. Tangled in knots, just waiting for my time to shine. What if the doors began to open? What if the knots became untied? What if one day nothing stood in my way and the world was mine?
The girls get on their horses and gallop beneath the stars. Rapunzel tiptoes through the river and watches fish swim.
And everything life ought to be, it's all gonna happen to me out there. And I'll find it, I swear, with the wind in my hair.
Rapunzel rides behind a waterfall. The group journeys through the forest.
So many roads I've yet to travel, so many friends I haven't met.
A wolf appears in their path. Cassandra draws her sword, but Rapunzel scratches the creature's stomach.
Plenty of mysteries to unravel, tons of mistakes to not regret. So much to see and to do and to be, a whole life to spend. And it doesn't end.
Trailed by fireflies, Rapunzel and Max leap in front of the rising moon. Jumps onto the castle wall.
And everything life ought to be, well, I know that it's waiting for me out there. And I'll find it, I swear, with the wind in my hair.
Dropping a rope over the wall, she jumps off. Now Rapunzel and Cassandra stop at a bridge.
Just remember, no one can ever know I took you outside the walls of Corona.
Don't worry, no one is gonna find out.
As she rides Max onto the bridge, the stone cracks under his hooves.
Whoa, Max. All right, this looks dangerous. Can you stay here and watch Fidella for me?
The horses remain on one side of the bridge as Rapunzel walks across with Cassandra. A chunk of the bridge crumbles behind them. Later, they descend a cliff face.
So, what did you want to show me? Believe me, it's better if you see it for yourself.
A stone monument stands guarded by spikes sticking out of rock.
They're beautiful. What are they?
Don't know. They just kind of sprouted up here about a year ago. And watch this. You might want to stand back for this one.
Her sword shatters against a rocky spike.
Wow.
They're unbreakable. Want to know the weirdest part?
She eyes the small monument perched at the end of a ledge. Rapunzel slowly approaches it.
This is where they found the miracle flower that saved your mom and me.
Rapunzel wipes dust off a plaque on the monument. The spikes emit a glowing blue light. As Cassandra looks on, Rapunzel extends a finger toward a glowing spike. An energy force propels her and Cassandra backward in a flash of intense light, which quickly subsides. Waves crash against the base of the cliff. The girls lie face down on the ledge. Sitting up groggily, Rapunzel notices a lock of her short brown hair glowing gold. More spikes punch their way out of rock. The spikes erupt closer and closer, forcing Rapunzel and Cassandra to run from their ever-increasing numbers.
Wait, what is it?
Get to the horses as fast as you can and don't look back, Rapunzel!
They dodge glowing spikes sprouting all around them. Cassandra glances behind.
Don't stop, Rapunzel! Keep going!
She kicks a gnarled tree trunk until suspended boulders fall, blocking the spikes. As Rapunzel runs, her hair emits shafts of intense golden light and increases in length. She leaps off a small hill, her golden hair flowing behind her, and lands at its base.
Cassandra!
Keep moving, Rapunzel! We need to get... Whoa! What?
She sees yards and yards of golden hair coiled on the ground behind her friend.
I have no idea, but we'll have to deal with it later. Let's go!
As more spikes appear behind them, the girls run onto the bridge. On the other side, Max steps onto the bridge. A chunk of it falls away from under his hoof, leaving a large gap. As the bridge tilts to one side, the girls fall and then get up and continue running. Rapunzel's hair jerks her back.
Cassandra! My hair!
It's trapped in a crack. As the army of spikes moves closer, Cassandra tugs on Rapunzel's hair. The spikes reach the bridge, causing one part of it to rise vertically. It slams back down with Rapunzel's hair still caught in the crack and several large gaps along the length of the bridge. Part of the foundation crumbles and Rapunzel's hair snags in the crack, tugging at her. Cassandra whips out her sword to cut it, then eyes the broken blade and throws it away. Rapunzel's hair drags her closer to the edge of a wide gap in the bridge. Just as she's losing her footing, Cassandra grabs her by the cloak and pulls. As Rapunzel lies stretched over the gap, Max jumps over it and pounds determinedly toward the crack. The bridge continues to crumble around him. Spikes burst out of a rock wall above Max, who brings his hoof down near the crack, freeing Rapunzel's hair. She and Cassandra fly backward. The bridge collapses around them, leaving them on a precarious column. As more spikes shoot out near Max, he jumps a gap and gallops back toward the girls. The column tips. Max leaps over it, and Rapunzel jumps onto his back while Cassandra holds onto her hair. Max and Rapunzel land safely, but Cassandra is left hanging off the edge of the bridge.
Cassandra!
She loses her grip, but Fidella catches her in her teeth and pulls her up just as the rest of the bridge collapses into the river.
See? Told you I'd get you in and out without anyone knowing. Piece of cake.
Piece of cake? Did you see the 70 feet of my father's going to kill me growing from my head?
One problem at a time, please.
As dawn breaks, they gallop back to the castle.
We've got a problem. Because of the coronation, they've doubled security at the gates today.
Really? And there's no other way in?
Sure, if you want to walk through the front door in broad daylight.
Rapunzel looks to the top of a tower.
Maybe we don't need the front door.
Inside the castle, Max crouches low as he moves toward the hallway to Rapunzel's room. At a corner, he stands and stomps down the hall towards Stan and Pete, standing guard outside the room. He glares sternly at Stan's jabot. The guard grins sheepishly.
I told him it wasn't protocol, sir.
Max scowls and motions them away with his head, then enters Rapunzel's room. The end of Rapunzel's hair flies in through a window, and Cassandra jumps in, followed by the princess herself.
Okay, quick, hand me the scissors.
So what do we want to do here? Maybe a bob? How about some layers?
Just cut it!
Cassandra tries snipping a lock, but the scissors shatter.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh? Why? Uh-oh, there shouldn't be any uh-ohs.
Cassandra shows her.
Uh-oh.
Was your hair always this strong?
What? No! Try again!
Cassandra takes out a dagger. Rapunzel's hair bends the blade.
We're gonna need a plan B.
Cassandra unfurls a roll of weapons in Max's saddle.
Cover your eyes.
She brings a cleaver down on the hair draped over a table. It breaks, as do a spiked fall mace and a battle axe. Cassandra stabs the hair with a semicircular blade, then hefts a huge double-bladed battle axe and lets it drop onto the hair. The table breaks.
Forget it. It's just like those stupid rocks. It's unbreakable.
We can't forget it. Today is my coronation.
Hey, Sunshine, are you in there?
You can't let Eugene see you.
What? Why?
He can't know anything about last night. I told you, Rapunzel. If it gets out I took you outside Corona, I'm done for.
But I trust Eugene.
Well, I don't. My dad will have me taken off princess detail. We'll never see each other again.
Oh, come on. We've been looking for you all night.
Rapunzel glances toward the doors, then nods to Cassandra.
Hey, are you okay in there? I can hear you, you know.
The hair snags on a blade. Rapunzel and Cassandra hide big portions of it in a closet and under the bed.
Rapunzel!
Max covers some with a rug.
Stand back! Are you okay? Holy hair!
Swaths of blonde hair cover the room, some of it fashioned into a potholder. Eugene and Pascal gape.
Surprise!
Oh, mama! Okay. This is new. I mean, no, not new, right? Because we've seen this, obviously. That whole magic thing is involved again. It was magic, right? Actually, you know what? You don't need to tell me. I'm just going to go ahead and say your hair magically grew back. I'm not going to ask how. Obviously, you don't want to tell me, or else you wouldn't have tried to hide it from me. So I won't ask how it grew back, but tell me, please, how did it grow back? Don't answer that. The important thing is you're okay. You are okay, right? Because as long as you're okay, I don't care what happened. I mean, I care. Obviously, I care. But I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation. Where is the war that you'll share when you're ready?
Thank you for understanding.
Oh, come on! Really? I thought we trusted each other, Rapunzel!
We do! I do! It's just...
Fine. You know what? I can't make you tell me what happened, but obviously you're keeping something from me. But whatever it is, I just want you to know, you should never feel like you have to hide anything from me.
Rapunzel smiles weakly. Max trades a look with Pascal perched on his head.
You don't hide things from the people you love. Ever.
Rapunzel, honey?
Hide your hair, woman. You gotta hide your hair.
Rapunzel! May I come in, sweetheart?
Pascal and Max keep the door shut.
You can't! I'm brushing my teeth!
Oh, good. But I can still come in, can't I?
Oh, believe me, Mom, you do not want to. Morning breath. Wouldn't want to expose you to that.
That's, very thoughtful of you. Dad and I want you to join us on the terrace for breakfast.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I have to do to get ready.
Rapunzel, well, your father has something very important to share with you. He's been waiting all night.
Yeah, sure. I will meet you there in a minute.
The queen leaves.
The coronation is in 2 hours. How am I supposed to cut this hair?
Cassandra sees Max's tail bundled on top of Pascal's head.
I might have an idea.
Now Rapunzel wears a huge wig.
So, Rapunzel, ready for the big day? You bet! Already into the princess spirit. The bigger the wig, the better the princess, right? So, Dad, Mom said you wanted to talk.
Yes, Rapunzel, last night, your mother and I had a discussion. I know that I'm not always able to separate the man from the king, and separating the father from the king has proven even more difficult. Sweetheart, I know this new life is hard to get used to, and I'm sure that sometimes you wish I would just get out of your hair.
Ooh, sorry. It's a little dry out here. Anyone else dry?
Rapunzel, you're going to be queen someday. A great queen, with a magnificent kingdom. But you know better than anyone else what a dangerous and evil place the world can be.
In town, Lady Kane's thugs commit crimes and get themselves arrested by the royal guards. Appears.
When that evil rears its ugly head, it is my job to protect Corona from it. And one day, that will be your responsibility, and I must teach you how to carry it. But that is many, many years away. Until that burden is imposed on you, I'm asking that you trust me, that I know how to keep danger as far away from you and this kingdom as is humanly possible. Do you understand? It wasn't until last night that I realized that my methods may have at times seemed strict or unfair or...
Does this mean I can have more time to myself without having half the royal guard over my shoulder?
Well, this means I'm willing to reconsider those methods. But I make no promises.
I can work with that.
As she kisses her father, a lock of hair falls out of her wig.
Well, I should go. I have a lot of princessing up to do.
She staggers off.
You're right, Ariana. Teenagers are a whole new frontier.
Now Eugene peeks into a room.
How are you?
Cassandra glowers at him as she sews a dress. Eugene adjusts flowers in a vase.
Oh, come on! What is going on with Rapunzel? I mean, is it something I did?
Probably.
And since when did she start keeping secrets from me?
Hey, Fitzherbert, I need to get this done before the coronation, so do you mind throwing your pity party someplace else?
Look, Cassandra, I know you don't like me for Rapunzel.
Oh, that's not true. I don't like you for anyone.
I just want what's best for her.
You don't say.
Of course! I want her to feel safe. I want her to be taken care of, and I want her to be happy here.
Funny. You seem to have a pretty good handle on the things you want.
She leaves. Eugene sits beside Pascal.
Oh, don't you start.
Meanwhile, wearing her wig, Rapunzel sits on her bed.
Hi, honey.
Oh, hi, Mom.
You left so quickly after breakfast, I didn't have a chance to give this to you. I know it's a little early for a coronation gift, but I thought you might like to see it now.
Rapunzel opens a small chest and takes out one of two journals. She flips it open.
18th of July. We embarked on a safari to the most remote plains of the third continent.
21st of May. Had to take shelter in a hidden cave to escape the fury of a violent storm. 12th of April. Helped villagers rebuild their war-torn homes. Mom, is this yours? Did you actually do all of this?
Rapunzel, before I met your father, I was so much like you. I had no idea what I was supposed to do in this world. So I went out and found my own way.
She hands Rapunzel the second journal. It's empty.
Your father is right about one thing. You will be queen someday. But only you get to decide what kind of queen you'll be. And no one can tell you the best way to make that decision.
But how can I if... Wait, are you suggesting that I should...
Honey, find a way to fill those pages. I only ask that you be safe, be smart, and above all, be true to yourself.
Rapunzel eyes an inscription on the inside front cover.
Plus est en vous?
Plus est en vous. It means there is more in you.
Mother and daughter share a warm embrace. In the majestic hall, the king and queen stand on either side of a tiny archbishop, who places the tiara on a cushion. In a side room, Cassandra shoves Rapunzel's hair under the huge wig.
This would have been so much easier with the other girls helping, but there's such gossips. Half the kingdom would know about your hair by now.
Are you sure you can't see it?
Cassandra lifts the collar.
Positive. Are you sure you can pull this off?
Rapunzel walks up to a door, opens it a crack, and peers at her parents and the archbishop. She blinks and closes the door.
I have to, Cassandra.
Just be careful you don't trip on this.
It's not the dress I'm worried about.
She wears shoes.
How do people walk in these things?
Whoa! Just relax. This is going to be fine.
In a cell.
I can't wait any longer.
This better work, Pocket.
Don't you worry, boys. Lady Kane will not disappoint.
Now Cassandra nods to Rapunzel, who takes a deep breath.
Okay.
She nods. Two guards open the doors to the hall, and Rapunzel's eyes widen as she takes in the packed room. Eugene sees her from the front of the hall.
Wow.
Rapunzel's purple, white, and gold dress sports a large dome-shaped skirt. As she sets off down the aisle, her tall wig starts to wobble. She struggles to keep her balance. Eugene frowns.
Yeah. Whoa!
How embarrassing for her. This is going to take forever.
The Duchess of Quintonia flounces away. A little later, hurrying along a corridor, she spreads her fan and eyes a plan of the castle drawn on it, then approaches two guards outside a door.
Hello? Can anyone help me? Silly me. I must have taken a wrong turn somewhere.
I'll be glad to help you, madam.
Oh, you're too fine!
She dispatches the guards with expert kicks. In the cell, Pocket and the other thugs look up to see her outside the door.
Hey, Madam Poppycock. The party's upstairs.
She slams him into the bars.
Meet Lady Kane.
You're a lot stronger than you look.
She takes off her wig.
I'm a lot of things.
She unlocks the cell door.
Let the show begin.
I'm gonna need you to step back into that cell, pronto.
The thugs come out and face the guard.
That there is a nice suit.
The guard drops his axe in the hall.
The wearer of this crown is a shining example of the promise that is Corona, an ambassador of goodwill to those visiting from afar, and an inspiration to those fortunate enough to live within her borders. But above all, the chief responsibility of the crown is to keep the people of Corona safe.
A thug in guard's uniform enters and bars the doors. Pascal alerts Cassandra.
This mandate is not to be taken lightly.
Go find Max.
There will come a day when the walls
She draws Eugene's attention to a second thug.
Are threatened by malfeasance. A day...
Attention, please!
Lady Kane.
Entering with her thugs, Lady Kane draws her sword. People scatter in panic. The ruffians round up some of the distinguished guests and force them to their knees before the king and queen.
Release my guests immediately!
What's the matter, Fred? Am I ruining your little girl's perfect day?
The Duchess?
Oh, honey. I am no Duchess.
I don't understand.
Of course you wouldn't, Rapunzel.
But try to follow along. This is all your fault.
What?
You see, after your untimely disappearance, your father locked up every criminal in the kingdom, including a simple petty thief.
My father. I saw him thrown into a cage and hauled off like some animal, never to be seen again.
So, I thought I'd come back and return the favor.
The ruffian reverses a horse-drawn wagon into the hall. Banners reading apple pies fall off the sides.
Load 'em up, boys!
The guests climb into the wagon under the supervision of the thugs.
Your turn, Your Majesty.
Oh, come now. You didn't think we'd leave our prized pig in the pen, did you?
Dad?
Rapunzel, stay back.
But...
No, there is nothing you can do. As your father and your king, I command you to stay put.
The wagon door shuts on him. A thug points a blade at Eugene.
Don't be a hero, pretty boy.
Eugene trades a look with Rapunzel, who gives a determined nod. He looks to Cassandra, who eyes Rapunzel with her brows raised. The princess exhales, bracing herself.
Sorry, Dad.
She kicks off her shoes.
I can't stay put.
Rapunzel!
She removes the tall wig, and her golden hair cascades down around her shoulders in slow motion. As it settles into place, Rapunzel stands tall.
That's my girl.
Let them go!
As her mother gapes, she walks forward, her hair trailing snake-like behind her.
It's amazing what you can hide under those wigs, isn't it, princess? Come on! Let's move out!
The wagon starts to leave. Rapunzel lassos the door handle with her hair and pulls the door off.
Now you're just making me angry.
Good, because I'm just getting started.
The prisoners get out.
Get those people back here. Now!
Rapunzel, your hair!
I know. We'll talk about it later. Please get somewhere safe and take care of Mom.
Rapunzel!
That's my cue!
Eugene slams two thugs together.
My last day on princess duty. Might as well go down fighting.
The thug spins a hatchet. Rapunzel grabs the weapon with her hair.
Leave them alone!
As the thug charges her, she binds him in her hair and trips him.
So, you sure you can handle yourself?
Oh, I'll manage.
Cassandra whacks ruffians away with a long metal candle stand, while Eugene fights with a sword.
Get that door open, now!
Guards use a battering ram. Inside, Eugene kicks a thug and jumps on another. He ducks as Cassandra sends two thugs flying over his head. Rapunzel spots two ruffians advancing on a couple. Forming a pulley system with her hair, she grabs the thugs and launches them up onto a high beam. Cassandra points the candle stand at Lady Kane.
Oh, cute.
Swiping her sword at Cassandra, Lady Kane trips her before throwing down her weapon. Scowling, Cassandra picks up her candle stand and gets to her feet. Lady Kane pulls out two fans. Meanwhile, seeing two thugs threatening the general, Rapunzel swings around the hall on a length of her hair and pulls them over. A thug in a skull mask grabs her hair.
Rapunzel!
She spies a frying pan on the back of the prison wagon and lassos it with her hair. The ruffian's eyes widen as the pan flies at him. Sword fighting with a thug, Eugene loses his weapon. Rapunzel swings past, handing him the pan.
Thanks, Blondie.
He fights with the pan. Pocket and another thug arrive, surrounding him. Eugene throws the pan like a boomerang, hitting all three of them in turn. They collapse.
Ha-ha! Now this feels good!
Meanwhile, Cassandra fights Lady Kane with the candle stand and wrenches one of her fans away. The two of them expertly block each other's blows. As Lady Kane lunges, Cassandra flips her back, then pins her arm down between the prongs of the stand.
Stay down!
Rapunzel lands in front of her.
You have no idea who you're dealing with. Believe me, I've dealt with much worse.
Lady Kane pulls free and takes the axe, barring the doors.
You think this is over? I promise you, I'll be back!
Max bursts in with the guards.
Oh, Lady Kane, it's impolite to leave in the middle of a party.
You think you'd know that?
As Rapunzel, Eugene, and Cassandra join Max, the guests applaud them. Lady Kane and her thugs are taken away in chains.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming. Nice suit, buddy. Happy coronation day, folks.
The hall starts to empty. Ariana hugs Rapunzel, who looks over her mother's shoulder and sees her father scowling at her. At night, she stands before him as he sits on his throne.
So I'm trying to understand this. You snuck out last night, went beyond the walls of Corona, where you touched a mysterious rock that somehow caused your hair to return.
Yes.
And you acted alone?
Look, I know you're angry, but can't you see? I'm okay. I'm more than okay.
Rapunzel?
He stands.
There's something I need to tell you. I love you. The night you were taken, a part of me died, the best part of me. For 18 long and agonizing years, I swore that if somehow, someway, by some miracle, the fates decided to show mercy and return you to me, I would never let anything happen to you again. And now that this has returned, the very reason you were snatched away from me in the first place, I'm afraid I'm left with no choice, sweetheart.
He dons his crown.
As of tonight, I am forced to exercise my martial right as king to forbid you from leaving the walls of this kingdom without my consent.
Father!
And know this. This is the last we will speak of mystical rocks or magic of any kind. To anyone. Is that understood?
There is so much more to me than you think.
He hands her the tiara and she rushes out, past Ariana entering the hall. The king hangs his head. In her room, Rapunzel sits at a window seat and paints her father in her journal.
Come in.
I believe somebody ordered room service.
Eugene, how did you know?
I had a feeling. Look, I just wanted to clear some stuff up.
He hands over a cupcake.
I haven't had the chance to apologize for putting you on the spot with that proposal.
Well, looking back, storming out of the room probably wasn't the best reaction. So I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Look, I'll admit, I don't quite understand why you said no. But I promise to do everything I can until I do.
Thanks, Eugene.
And in the meantime, we'll stay right here and take things slowly.
He touches her hair.
I miss this.
Hey, promise me one more thing.
Anything.
That you'll be patient with me.
Absolutely.
They kiss.
Good night, Rapunzel.
Good night, Eugene.
He leaves, shutting the door behind him.
Back to life after happily ever after. Stuck inside once again and I'm gazing. True, I'm in here with those I hold dear, surrounded by their love. And for some, that's more than enough, no doubt.
As she sits at her open window, a wind ruffles her hair as well as the pages of her journal, which flips back to her mother's inscription on the front inside cover. Smiling, Rapunzel jumps out onto her balcony.
But I got the wind in my hair and a fire within, 'cause there's something beginning. Ready to follow it, who knows where? And I'll get there, I swear, with the wind in my hair.
Rapunzel's golden locks stream behind her. Birds fly across the view to reveal a full moon hanging over the castle and the kingdom of Corona. Fade to black. Disney, Tangled, Before Ever After. Now, hands part foliage, exposing the spikes surrounding the stone monument. Cut to black.
Seems like I've spent my whole life hoping, dreaming of things I've never tried. Tangled in knots, just waiting for my time to shine. What if the doors began to open? What if the knots became untied? What if one day nothing stood in my way and the world was mine? Would it feel this fine? 'Cause I got the
film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voice by Marcia Bartonetti.